welcome to the Door of Life Church podcast. Our mission is to share the love of Jesus with the world and believers, to teach them how to walk in victory, and to help them find and fulfill God's plan for their life. If you have any comments about today's podcast, please contact us through our website at dooroflife.org. Door of Life Church, where faith meets real life.
Well, we're going to go ahead this morning and get started. And we're going to take a look at a couple scriptures, and I put them both up here back to back. So we can kind of take a close look at them, one right after the other here. First one is written by the Apostle Paul, and he wrote this to the church at Ephesus. And then, of course, the next one is written by Peter. And Paul, writing to the Ephesians, he says this. He says, "For by grace you've been saved through faith. And that not of yourselves. It is the gift of God, not of works, lest anyone should boast." Peter, in his book, says this, "Therefore, since Christ suffered for us in the flesh, arm yourselves also with the same mind. For he who has suffered in the flesh has ceased from sin, that he should no longer live the rest of his time in the flesh for the lusts of men, but for the will of God." Now, when you look at these two scriptures, these two passages of scripture, they're clearly talking about two very different things. When you see Paul in Ephesians saying, "By grace you've been saved through faith," he's talking about your salvation, how you got saved. He's saying there's nothing you did to earn it. It was totally a gift of God. You just believed and you received, and God caused the new birth and caused you to become a child of God. It's not of works. It's just a gift. Period. End of story. But down here, you see Peter saying, since Christ suffered for us in the flesh, we know he lived that sinless life and he never once yielded to sin or the flesh. He said, "Arm yourselves likewise with the same mind. He who suffered in the flesh has ceased from sin, that he should no longer live the rest of his time in the flesh to the lust of men." Now, Peter isn't talking about how to get saved here. He's talking about living the rest of your time for the will of God. In other words, Peter's talking about living for God, making the most of your life down here and living it all out for God. Talking about two completely different things. And sometimes when people look at different parts of the scripture, they can almost combine concepts and get things a little bit mixed up. I think one of the phrases that you might have heard, you know, talking about people and speech and different things is where somebody may have mixed their metaphors. If you've ever heard that. Here's a few examples of somebody who's mixed their metaphors. They're kind of humorous. They're these kind of conflicting, competing thoughts. It says, "We could stand here and talk until the cows turn blue. You could have knocked me over with a fender. He's a wolf in cheap clothing. They are diabolically opposed. It's as easy as falling off a piece of cake. I wouldn't be caught dead there with a 10-foot pole. He's burning the midnight oil from both ends. It's like looking for a needle in a hayride. It's time to grab the bull by the tail and look him in the eye. We've opened a can of worms here, and now we're going to have to get the genie back in the bottle." You know, sometimes, I don't know, maybe Archie Bunker, different, just kind of slaughtering different things, you know, different concepts and, you know, stuff like that. And it is kind of funny when you hear it. And, you know, it's funny as you hear these kind of competing deals. It's the same thing happens sometimes. People will do the same thing spiritually, mix their metaphors with Scripture. Somebody might preach a message on 1 Peter 4 about suffering in the flesh, to lay aside the weights and the sins that so easily beset you and run with patience the race that is set before you, unhindered, uncumbered, so you can do the will of God in the earth. And somebody can hear somebody talking about suffering in the flesh, and they'll go, "Oh, no, you'll never catch me suffering in the flesh to stop sinning. I know better. I've been saved by grace through faith. It's the gift of God, not of works. Well, yeah, but you're kind of spiritually mixing some metaphors there. You know, and I could be, you know, you could knock me over with a fender, too. It's not apples for apples. It's apples and oranges. You know, again, Paul's talking about getting saved. Peter's talking about living for God once you're already saved. So it's two completely different things. And we got to realize the Holy Spirit wrote both of these things, right? So the Holy Spirit isn't like good cop, bad cop here. The Holy Spirit is good Holy Spirit. In other words, they reconcile. They're not competing thoughts. They're not competing ideas. These truths are completely compatible and wonderful together. But what happens sometimes is we can kind of mix things up in our mind and mix things up in our thinking. And why does this happen? A lot of times this happens because, you know, a lot of us, you know, maybe we get saved, we get born again, we experience the joy of the Lord, and we've come out of perhaps more of a denominational, liturgical-oriented service where we're all used to corporately saying and repeating after and kind of going through a road and a ritual and things like that. And so you get saved, you get born again, and you begin to walk in fellowship with the Lord, and you know that it's by grace through faith, and it's not routine and rote and ritual anymore. And you feel like, praise God, I'm never going back to that old time, old, dead old religion thing anymore again. And you know what? There's absolutely a truth there. We are born again, saved by grace through faith, and there's a joy of the Lord. But sometimes what will happen is you can erroneously come to the conclusion that everything you experience in God must be accompanied by a joy and a giddiness and a happiness, and it's all, you know, unicorns and rainbows walking with God. And you talk about something like discipline. Discipline, what? Are you kidding me? Oh, no, I've learned. Nope, I'm not serving in the oldness of the letter. I'm serving in the newness of the Spirit. That means I'll have a devotion time when the Spirit leads me to have a devotion time, and I feel the inspiration of the Spirit of God to have a devotion time. I'm not going back to some dead form again. And that's why you tend to not have very many devotion times. It's hard to get all those stars to align just right. And, you know, really, by the time you meet all the inspirational expectations to be able to have a true devotion time, you don't hardly need one anymore. Because you're already there. No, I know this person well because I've been this person many, many times. And, you know, maybe more times than I care to admit. But where you're just, yeah, because I'm real. Because I'm really real. Yeah. Which leads me to the title of the message this morning, The Uninspired Devotion Time. The uninspired devotion time. It is wonderful to feel inspired as you go into your devotion time. On the other hand, it is not required. My desire for you for this message is to remove all inspirational expectations that you may impose on yourself before you feel like you can have a real devotion time. Let's take a look at what the Bible says about this subject. So again, what we're talking about this morning is connected back to the uninspired devotion time. First of all, the timing of the uninspired devotion time. When you look at the timing of having a devotion time, we actually sang about it this morning and come to the altar. What does Jesus say about the condition of people who really need to have a devotion time? Jesus said, come to me, all you who labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and lowly in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light. Who's he talking to? He's talking about people who are laboring and heavy laden. How emotionally inspired do you feel when you're at the point of being heavy laden? Here's that first and a few other translations, verse 28. Come to me, all you who labor and are heavy laden and overburdened, and I will cause you to rest. I will ease and relieve and refresh your souls. Easy to read. Come to me, all you who are tired from the heavy burden you've been forced to carry, and I will give you rest. Bible in basic English. Come to me, all who are troubled and weighted down with care, and I will give you rest. And we saw this one last week in the message. Are you tired, worn out, burned out on religion? Come to me, get away with me, you'll recover your life. I'll show you how to take a real rest. So is Jesus talking to people who've already satisfied some emotional, inspirational requirement? No, he's talking to people who are at the bottom. You're not feeling it when you're in this place. You're not getting the vibe. You are feeling like dirt. You're emotionally depleted. You're frustrated. You're angry. Different things that are going on. He's saying, yes, good. Now you're ready. You are who I'm talking to come away for some rest. Here's another place he puts it in Hebrews. He says, for we do not have a high priest who cannot sympathize with our weaknesses, but was in all points tempted as we are, yet without sin. Let us therefore come boldly to the throne of grace that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need. Here's another come scripture where first he said, come unto me, all you who labor and are heavy laden. Now, in Hebrews it says, therefore come boldly to the throne of grace. That's where Jesus is. To find a couple things, mercy and grace to help. If you need mercy, you're needing forgiveness and mercy for something you've done, you're not feeling it. There's no inspiration here. When you feel guilt and when you feel shame, what did Adam and Eve do? They ran away from God. That's the natural inclination that you will feel when you're experiencing shame and embarrassment and humiliation and self-frustration, that you need mercy. And right in the middle of that emotional state, God beckons, come now. Come and I've got mercy for you. He says, come boldly. In other words, you're coming knowing that there is mercy and grace. You're not waiting for a feeling of mercy and grace. You're coming boldly to get mercy and grace. You don't got it yet here. You're just by faith coming boldly to get it. You're very uninspired here in the process of going boldly to get something that is going to bless and relieve during those times. And if it's mercy, if it's grace to help, a lot of times, sometimes you need grace, standing grace. You need grace to do what God has called you to do. You know the right thing to do, but you need the grace and the strength to do it because you can't live this life in your own ability. You got to have the grace of God. And when you're standing over here feeling unable to do, maybe it's to forgive or to trust or believe, or you're experiencing temptation and you just don't feel like you're strong enough, you need grace to help. And at that point of feeling uninspired to the core, you are boldly called. We're talking about the timing of the uninspired devotion time. The timing is right here. You know, when you're needing the mercy and the grace. Another passage in Hebrews here, it says, therefore, in all things, Jesus had to be made like his brethren, that he might be a merciful and faithful high priest in things pertaining to God to make propitiation for the sins of the people. In other words, Jesus became like one of us. For in that he himself has suffered, Jesus, being tempted, he's able to aid those who are tempted. The Amplified puts it this way, for because he himself, Jesus again, in his humanity has suffered being tempted, tested, and tried, he's able to immediately to run to the cry of assist, relieve those who are being tempted and tested and tried and who therefore are being exposed to suffering. Think about that. He's saying at the point of temptation, you can feel like, at the point of temptation, this is where the enemy is trying to seduce you, and he's working through your mortal bodies that we all have to deal with. He's trying to seduce you into the anger, wrath, strife, you know, sexual sins, whatever, addictions, and all those kind of things. You can look at Galatians 5, 19 through 21. See them all listed out there. The physical, the emotional, all the different things that are common to man through the flesh that the enemy tries to get us at. He's saying at the point of temptation right there, Jesus will run to the cry of assist and relieve. So again, you could be feeling shame. Maybe you're feeling fear. Maybe you're feeling lonely. Maybe you're feeling tempted. Maybe you're feeling bitter. Maybe you're feeling a lot of stuff. That's the point where we're called to come and receive the mercy and the grace to help. This is really important as it relates to devotion time, and as it relates to being set free from our own self-imposed spiritual, inspirational expectations that we feel like we got to meet before we can go there. We don't. When you look scripturally at who is called to come there, you're called at the when you're at the bottom of the barrel. You're called, and if it's just not just to come, but to come boldly. Wow, it's amazing to think this is the timing of the uninspired. In other words, there's no time, no matter what you're going through. No matter what you're going through, there is no time that, oops, I'm too far away, I'm not qualified to be able to go. No, God has made that way through Jesus. That's the great thing about being a child of God. You've always got access. You've got boldness through that new and living way. It's a way of mercy. It's a way of grace. But it's important for us to realize that and to understand that in our own lives. When we're in this area, we need to be coming. You know, in the natural, if you are driving your car, okay, and a lot of times many of us know our own gas gauges. We know, you know, when E really means E. I've had cars where E really is like almost a quarter to an eighth of tank left, and it'll run out of gas. I've had other cars where I can take that thing even below the E, and it's amazing. Every car's E kind of means something unique to that car. So I know what it means to push the envelope and ride it on E a little bit. But I also know what it's like to be driving around on E and thinking and doing the math to the next gas station. Now, if I'm driving my car and it's on E and I know it's the real E, in other words, I really am on fumes as I'm looking at it, and I drive by a gas station, would I stop and say, you know, I know I need gas, I know my car's on empty, but you know what, I'm not getting a vibe from that gas station. No, I'm not feeling it. Oh, well, I got to keep driving. Got to keep driving until I find a gas station that I feel it. No, you're about to feel something pretty soon. You're about to feel your car come to a stop. You're not going to... You just need to get gas in the tank. You don't got to feel anything. You just got to pull over and get some gas. You know, spiritually, we've got gauges. Whether you realize it or not, you've got a peace gauge. You've got a joy gauge. You've got a love walk gauge, a forgiveness gauge, a worship gauge. And you know in your own heart when those things are getting over on E, when you're feeling empty, when you're feeling depleted, and you're driving by looking at that gas station, and you're going, oh, I know I'm on E, and I know I need to get filled up, but I'm just not feeling it. No. What do? I come boldly. When I'm on E in my car, I come boldly to that gas station. When I'm on E spiritually, I need to come boldly to the Bible. I don't have to feel it. I don't need a vibe. I don't need a word. I don't need to see something. I know it. Jesus said, come unto me, all you who are labor. Come unto me, all you whose gauges are on E. That's what he's saying. So what's the timing of the uninspired devotion time? I'll tell you this. When you need that devotion time the most is when you're going to feel it the least. So it's no time to be playing spiritual games of getting a vibe and a word and a leading and a twinge or a tinkle or a whatever. Goosebump. No. It's the time to come boldly by faith. That's it. That's the timing of the uninspired devotion time. We don't ooey-gooey emotionalize it or over-spiritualize it. It's something that we do by faith. So, that's the timing of the uninspired devotion time. Now let's talk about the inspiration of the uninspired devotion time. All right? The inspiration of the uninspired devotion time. Let's take a look here at 2 Timothy 3:16. It says, all Scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be complete, thoroughly equipped for every good work. Verse 16 in the Amplified says, every scripture is God-breathed, given by His inspiration. It's important to realize, once you've done this step and you've realized the timing of the devotion time, is when you need that mercy and that grace to help you, there is no vibe required, but that you just come boldly to the throne of grace, that when you come here again, that you're not having to come pre-inspired, that the inspiration for your devotion time is already in these words. All scripture is given by inspiration of God. Every scripture is God-breathed, given by His inspiration. In other words, I'm not coming because I'm inspired. I'm coming to get inspiration, and that inspiration is in these words. These are inspired words. I don't have to bring any inspiration to the table when I come to the throne of the grace. Zero. The inspiration's already here. It's here. I'm coming to get it. I'm not coming to bring it. I'm not coming to show something. I'm coming to get it. And the inspiration's in these words. They are God-breathed words. I don't have to come up with some creative, clever little thing, something, something, something. They're in the words. I can just go, oh, praise God. Inspiration is in these words to help. So the inspiration is going to come from the Word of God itself. It's going to come from His Word to me. And here's another thing to understand about the Word. The Scripture says about the Word, when it says the Word of God, it's talking literally here in this case, in this context, about the Logos, the written Word of God, all right, the Scripture. For the Word of God is living and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the division of soul and spirit and joints and marrow, and is a discerner. The Word is a discerner of the thoughts and the intents of the heart. The Amplified says, for the Word that God speaks is alive and full of power, making it active, operative, energizing, and effective. It is sharper than any two-edged sword, penetrating to the dividing line of the breath of life, soul and the immortal spirit, and of joints and marrow, of the deepest parts of our nature, exposing and sifting and analyzing and judging the very thoughts and purposes of the heart. Man, this Word is powerful. The things that the Word of God does and the ability that the Word of God has in our lives. When we think about, again, the Bible really containing these things, and let me kind of say this too. Apart from the Word of God, when you're not in the Word of God and you're just kind of off in your own thought little world, most of us tend to get on a merry-go-round of self-justification and blame-shifting and kind of reorientate mentally everything in our own little world to where we're the good guy. That's just the nature. Again, Adam and Eve in the garden, the woman thou gave me, the woman said, the serpent, there's a self-justification. It's not my fault. It's not my fault. There's a merry-go-round of self-rationalization that we can get in on. But when you go to the Word, you go out of the realm of self-rationalization to seeing what God says. And it gets you off that merry-go-round and you begin to look at the words of God. And these words are penetrating. And there is power in these words. There is energy and active power operative that's in the Word of God. And these words are unlike any other words, any other periodical, any other book that you can read. But again, the power is in the actual Word of God. You know, if you kind of think of it like, coffee. You have a cup of coffee. There's something in that coffee that's going to energize and perk you up. There's caffeine in that coffee. In fact, the coffee is kind of the delivery system to get the caffeine in you that's going to perk you up and energize you. And you want to know something? You don't need any emotional inspiration to make that coffee work. In fact, probably most people, at the point they're taking their coffee is when they're the most least energetic and least inspired and dragging and just, you know, hate everybody, drink, praise God, hallelujah. And so when a person comes to have that morning cup of coffee, they put no pressure on themselves or their own inspiration. It's not like a caffeine only works if mixed with mental positive thoughts. No, 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 no. We like caffeine because it doesn't require positive thoughts. I can roll out in whatever mood I am, and it's going to pick me up and energize me and work in me. That's the great thing. And we got to realize, too, that the power, the energy, these words are the delivery system for the power and the energy that God has in His Word to get into you. There's power in those words. When you begin to read them, they'll work in your heart. Even when you read them now off the screen, they're working in your heart. Right now. There's something special about the Word of God. The power's there. I'm not, again, coming with some prerequisite of some inspired revelations. I don't need a thing. I can just open up my spiritual Joe and start drinking. And start reading. And just let these words get in me. I mean, all you had to do for your coffee really is prepare it and drink it. The very physical, uninspired act. You don't have to hear birds singing. You don't have to hear, all you got to do is do, and then you drink, and then you're okay, well, good. You don't consider that legalistic, do you? All you got to do is come. You don't have to get all spiritual about it. Just come. Just come. You know, sometimes people talk about random acts of kindness. You know what you do sometimes? Just randomly sit down and read a chapter of the Bible right in the middle of your day. Just read. You don't have to jump through any hoops to get in da-da-da-da-da. No big production. Just read. Do something. You can just come boldly and read. You can just hook up and have that fuel going on the inside of you. You know, this time of year especially, and especially today, when you're dealing with your car, I just had to get a new battery. I had to look at the cold cranking amps. Same concept there too. Man, if your car is going to start in this 20, 25 below, and it's, especially if it's outside, there's going to have to be something about that battery. It has cold cranking amps. Here's what cold cranking amps are. I'm not really too versed on this. Number of amperes a lead acid battery at 32 degrees can deliver for 30 seconds to maintain 1.2 volts per cell. I'm sure that really blesses you. In other words, cold cranking amps determine how much power you have to start your car on cold winter mornings. Right? You have that cup of coffee, you're cold, but it's gonna crank you up. And that's when you're approaching your devotion time. I'm cold, but there's cold cranking amps in the Word of God. All I'm doing is the legalistic work of turning that key and getting my nose in this book and beginning to read. And I'll tell you what, just as far as a practical matter, make it easy on yourself. Don't feel like you got to read the whole Bible in, you know, so many days. Just read, you know, and a lot of times people say, you can never read the Bible enough. That's not true. You can read the Bible enough. Could you ever say you can never eat enough? Yeah, you can eat enough. You eat, you know, till you're full or the right amount, and then that's good. You know, reading the Bible, you're just going to sit down, you're going to read, and you'll, in the same way you eat physically and experience a satisfaction, you can eat spiritually and feel satisfied and go away from that place satisfied and full, not with a sense of condemnation, I should have read one more chapter, or I should have, no. You can come and just eat and feed and be refreshed spiritually. Praise God. But that's the functional purpose. What are we talking about? We're talking about the inspiration of the uninspired devotion time. It doesn't, again, come from me at all. I'm bringing nothing to the table. The inspiration is in those words. I'm going there to get the inspiration that's in those words out and drink them into me. so that that caffeine can get on the inside of me and inspire me and perk me up, and the power that's in the Word get on the inside of me, and the discerning ability to sift and analyze and be able to see through my own lies and my own self-deluded self-justifications. You can't do that in your own human natural self-reflection. It takes the Word of God, and you look at the way God speaks and what He says, and there's power in His words, and you go, oh yeah, right, wow, that's cool. Yeah, but when God corrects you by His Word, it's not shame on you condemnation. He corrects you in a way that you say, oh, wow, I see that. Okay, right. That's wrong. And I see, you know, God's, His heart. You know, why do you love those who love you? Even the sinners do that. What reward is that? Love the unlovely. Pray for those. And you go, wow, okay, yeah, wow, that's a different way of thinking. It'll get you off your own little self-reflection thought pattern and get you on His Word. And there's power in those words. And that's one of the reasons you have the Holy Spirit on the inside of you when you become a Christian. Because it's not just theological battles of who's right and who's wrong. No, when you're a child of God, you've got the Spirit of God on the inside of you to bear witness to truth and to lead and guide you into all truth. And you read those words and something on the inside of you goes, yes, that's right, that's right. And it wakes you up and it perks you up. And it gives you a spiritual energy and strength on the inside that comes, it's a nourishment that comes from those words. And you can spend some time in that devotion time and all of a sudden you're feeling strengthened and you're seeing things and you're thinking, wow, God's just really shining on me right now. No, He isn't. You just ate. That's all that happened. You were very hungry. And now you're feeling the energy of having some food in your system, some gas in your tank. And you can do that whenever you want to. You don't have to wait for the stars to align. The uninspired devotion time can happen when you need the inspiration the most. And to be set free and to realize, hey, I can do this. I don't have to be a pastor. I don't have to be a preacher or a teacher. I don't have to be a leader. All I have to do is be somebody who's followed, loves Jesus, who has His Spirit in my heart, and His Spirit will help me to understand this book. Nobody understands it perfectly. We're all growing in this. But you can start where you're at. And there is nothing quite like reading these words and experiencing not only the content of the Word, but the dynamic action of the Holy Spirit in you as you're reading the Word, bearing witness to truth, showing you things, applying it to your life. I like to say it a lot too, even at Door of Life. You're hearing two sermons this morning. You're hearing the one I'm preaching to you, and you're hearing the one the Holy Spirit's preaching to you that nobody knows but you. Why are you hearing that second sermon? Because you have the Holy Spirit in you, and you can hear from God. And God does show you and lead and guide you into all truth. That dynamic action not only happens on a Sunday morning as you're hearing a preacher preach, but it happens when you're by yourself and you're just reading these words. You'll be hearing a second sermon as well too. The inspiration of the uninspired devotion time, again, comes from the Word of God itself. I'm coming to get it. I'm not coming because I have it. So we're talking about the inspiration of the uninspired. And sometimes it works this way too when you're talking about faith. Faith comes by hearing. You can be over here sometimes. You can be over here with bitterness and hurt and pain and these. Sometimes you're over here because there's a lack of faith. You know what you believe theologically, and you're having a hard time being in faith for something you believe theologically. You believe it's God's will to take care of you, to meet your needs, to heal your broken heart, but you feel so alone. You feel hurt. You feel a lot of different things, and you know what? You know where faith's going to come from? It's from getting out of the self-rationalization merry-go-round and going back to get a fill, to get a strength. Because there's something about being over here knowing you should forgive those because you're a Christian, you're supposed to forgive. Then when you go over here and you read, let all bitterness, wrath, anger, clamor, and evil speaking be put away from you with all malice. Be kind, tender-hearted, forgiving one another, even as God in Christ has forgiven you. There's authority in those words. Recalling the theology of in your head is not good enough. It's coming to the pump. And getting those words in your, there's this word, it's special. There's something unique about this. I mean, one of the biggest revelations you can ever get in a Christian is really that the Bible is the Word of God. It's the biggest, I've said it for years, but I believe it more this year than I did last year. It's a growing revelation of just how amazing the Word of God is. When you look at how Jesus acted and treated the Bible when he was on the earth, isn't that an amazing thing to think? He's having combat with the devil in the backside of the desert, and he doesn't do any kind of weird, miraculous tricks or, I'm Jesus, and don't you know who I am? He quotes the word, it is written. Man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God. Jesus leaned on, put his trust in the power of the written word in resisting the devil. A lot of times you see people, well, what do you believe about the Bible? Are you a literalist? Da, 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 da. You know, when it comes to my attitude toward the Scripture, I like to see Jesus' attitude toward the Scripture. The one who died on the cross and rose again for my sin. What was his attitude toward the Bible? That's the attitude that I want to have toward the Bible. If that makes me look intellectually dumb, fine, no problem. I want to emulate his attitude because I know with meekness when I receive that engrafted word, it does save my soul. It helps me. It gets me back thinking right, normal again. So the inspiration that comes from the word is there. And what has happened? Faith comes by hearing the word. And so I'm reading those scriptures, and what is it? It's not just that I'm supposed to forgive. I get faith to forgive when I begin to read those words. Or it could be faith to receive, or faith to trust, or faith for wisdom. God's faithful. You begin to read it, it builds faith. Faith happens. Faith, again, it's not a personality type. Faith is something that happens as you hear the word of God. It happened when you first heard the word to be saved, and it continually happens in your life as you walk by faith and hear those words of the word that will build faith in you. And then finally, we're talking about the uninspired devotion time. Let's talk about the method. The method of the uninspired devotion time. You know, coffee is probably the most popular method of getting those 100 or 200 or 300, whatever milligrams of caffeine into you. But there are many methods by which you can get that same caffeine into you. Whether it's soft drinks or energy drinks or tablets, there's candy bars, there's even caffeinated bacon. How I know that's not important. All right. There's a lot of different ways you can get that word into you. There's a lot of different ways that you can do it than just sitting down with your Bible. I mean, kind of the example that I've used this morning is I'm kind of going to the Bible. That's one way to get the milligrams into me. It's not the only way. But I'll tell you what, it's a great way. It's a very powerful way. And here, let's as we kind of go through some different methods of the delivery systems of the Word of God into your life, let's start with that one. I would like to say this, the Psalm 1 guy was the master of the uninspired devotional time. Because you look at what he came through. Before he ever delights in the law of the Lord, he has to come through some stuff. Blessed is the man who walks not in the counsel of the ungodly. What is ungodly counsel? Ungodly counsel are going to be words and advice and authoritative statements that will sympathize with your flesh and say, oh, yes, it will amen your flesh. It'll amen what your flesh is feeling. It's not what you need, but you want somebody to tell you that to be able to stay in that state. That's ungodly counsel. And that Psalm 1 guy doesn't stand for ungodly counsel. He doesn't want his flesh to be petted or nurtured or sympathized with. He wants the truth, even if it means he's wrong. He doesn't stand in the path of sinners. Man, you talk about the flesh, the world, and the devil. The day and age we live in. Calling, drawing. Nope, I'm walking past the path of the sinner. I'm walking past those places that are appealing for me to indulge in my flesh. And I'm not sitting in the seat of the scornful. I'm not going to stop growing and satisfy my own sense of dissatisfaction about where I am by being critical of other people to make me feel a little bit better about my own little compromises in my life. These are all temptations that you have to walk past. He said, but his delight is in the law of the Lord. And in his law, he meditates day and night. And he shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water that brings forth his fruit in its season, whose leaf also shall not wither, and whatever he does shall prosper. You think of a tree and really strong, healthy trees that are planted. They go through all kinds of weather, and yet they're there. They're faithful. They're strong. Their roots go deep. It doesn't matter whether it's a sunny day or a cold day or a rainy day or whatever it is, that tree is there. There's a picture of stability. The uninspired devotion time is a picture of stability. When you can go to that throne of grace, whether you're feeling it or not, your roots are about to go deeper. And here's a few exhortations that we get in the New Testament here. The Apostle Paul writing to the Colossians, he says, "Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly in all wisdom, teaching and admonishing one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing with grace in your hearts to the Lord, and whatever you do in word or deed, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God the Father through him." I'll tell you, this passage is rich with different ways that we get the word of God into us. Number one, letting the word dwell in us richly. That's what we were talking about before. Get some scriptures. You know what? A good way to, if you're kind of wondering, how do I get started in this? How do I really get started practically in getting my nose in this Bible every day? I'll tell you a great way to start. Take Proverbs. Find out the calendar day of the month it is. Today's the 8th. Go to Proverbs 8 and read the 8th chapter of Proverbs. And what that does, because Proverbs is so rich, so relevant, and I found that just that one little step helps to get me in the Word. It helps to start. And I'm just saying, if you've got your plan pattern, great. I'm just saying, if you're trying to figure out kind of how do I get started, that's a really good way to start. It'll begin to get you, because even if you miss a day or 2 days, you think, oh, what day is it today? Oh, it's the 13th. Okay. Proverbs 13. It's easy. It's easy to come back to. It's easy to kind of get going. This is faith meets real life. So just some practical stuff as far as getting into the Word, letting it dwell in you richly. Also, psalms, hymns, spiritual songs, singing with grace in your hearts to the Lord. I love our worship at Door of Life, but thank God it doesn't have to stop here for another 7 days. We can get in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs while we're driving in the car, while we're in our house. What do those psalms and hymns and spiritual songs have? They have the Word of God in them. And as you begin to sing, come to the altar. He's here. He loves you. There's mercy. There's forgiveness. You begin to sing those songs. You're singing the Word of God. And that Word is getting on the inside of you. It's just another delivery system of the Word of God. Music is a powerful method for the uninspired devotion time. Just begin to put music in your thoughts, in your minds. It'll touch your emotional, your spirit, part of your being. Giving thanks to God. I'll tell you, just on purpose giving thanks, even when you're feeling over here, in the muck, when you begin to Lord, I thank you. You begin to see those good things in your life and how God has helped you, taken care of you, and bless him. It'll just cause you to remember the good thing that he's done. It'll cause you to remember his faithfulness to you, that he has been there for you in times past. Also, Jesus, it says, when you pray, you should not be like the hypocrites, for they love to pray standing in the synagogues and the corners of the streets, that they may be seen of men. Assuredly, I say to you, they have their reward. But you, when you pray, go into your room. When you shut your door, pray to your Father who's in the secret place, and your Father who sees in the secret place will reward you openly. What is this talking about? This is just talking about that quiet, private little prayer time. You're over here a lot of times, and when you've got the baggage over here, you can go into this place, that secret place, and just begin to air it out. We talked about this last week. Just begin to talk to God. Don't feel like you got to have it all down perfect. When a parent is listening to their child try to speak, a parent is thrilled that the child's even trying to communicate. And when you're here in this place of confusion and you're saying, oh, God, just help me to forgive, help me to love. And you might say, I'm sorry for some things and I want to do better. And why does this make me mad? You just begin to talk about the things of your heart. This is all of a sudden, as you're beginning to talk, the same Holy Spirit that shows you things from the Word, as you begin to talk, the same Holy Spirit will begin to show you things about that you're even talking about. He's just there to teach you, but he just needs something to work with. As you just begin to talk and talk and talk, you're like that child trying to, like I said last week, Lindsay texted us a little deal with Owen, trying to say, hi, and it was probably a ha and an exhale, but it was hi. It was hi, yes. Why is that? A parent being a good father, He's a good, good father. And when you go to that secret place and you're just trying to, he's excited. He's right there. Come on, come on. And the same Holy Spirit again, he's talking to you. Even when you hear your own words, you hear the Holy Spirit preaching a second sermon from what you're saying in prayer. It's amazing how the Holy Spirit can do that. And you go, oh yeah, oh yeah, oh yeah. And it's cool because he does it in a way, it's like, wow, it's in that little quiet, intimate, secret place. But if you're too spiritual, if you're not getting the vibes to ever get there, he can't restore your soul in those places. So we got to get past those things, right? And be able to go to that secret place, knowing it's a safe place. He knows where we're at. I don't have to pretend to be on a level that I'm not. The Bible says all things are already naked and open before him. So there's no pressure to have to hide anything there because he already sees it. You just got to by faith, okay, he already sees it. He already knows. So let's start here while I'm praying. And it helps you. You learn how to be honest by the Holy Spirit. You learn how to be honest by the exercise of just praying in the secret place. As you're really, it's not just because you have the ability, the Holy Spirit in you is showing you, teaching you while you're praying. And then finally, another big method I want to say is what we're doing here today, the body of Christ. We need each other. It's a vital part of how we get the word into our lives. Speaking the truth in love may grow up into all things into him who's the head. He just got done talking about the fivefold ministry, ministry gifts. And he goes on to say, from whom the whole body joined and knit together by what every joint supplies according to the effective working by which every part does its share, causes growth of the body for the edifying of itself in love. He makes the whole body, this is New Living 16, he makes the whole body fit together perfectly as each part does its own special work. It helps the other parts grow. So the whole body is healthy and growing and full of love. Not only do we get fueled up in the secret place, but when we come together, that's why the scripture says, man, don't forsake the assembling. There's something you have in you that somebody else needs. There's some things that people have in here that you need. And where are you going to get that? You're going to get that through fellowshipping and hanging out. I mean, I love our fellowship time before the service and between worship and the word. And after the service, there's rich fellowship at Door of Life. I love it because this is taking place. God is doing things. You have a treasure in your earthen vessel. And there are people who need your treasure. And there are treasures you need to glean from people that are here as well, too. Even on a Sunday morning, hearing a sermon like this, you're getting the delivery system of the word. Again, most of you to be here on 20 below with wind chill, you had to have made some quality decision to probably be here because it wasn't the weather that probably inspired you to come out this morning. There was a decision. But here's the point. Whether you felt inspired to come here this morning or not is irrelevant. You're getting the same cup of Joe. And that's what we got to realize. Hey, this isn't about my inspirational feeling. This is about the Word of God. This is about the Word of God doing the work. And so as we kind of look at the uninspired devotion time, we realize there is a timing to it. What is the timing for the uninspired devotion time? It's the timing is when you are in a time of need, that's the timing for the uninspired devotion time. When you're laboring and are heavy laden, perfect time for the uninspired devotion time. What about the inspiration for the uninspired devotion time? It's the inspiration that's already in the Word. I don't have to bring anything to it. I don't have to bring a single revelation, a single goosebump. It's just there, cold cranking amps. I'm putting my confidence, the way you put your confidence and trust in that cup of coffee to perk you up, I'm putting that same confidence in this Bible to perk me up. Because you have what that cup of coffee needs, and you have what this cup of, and you need what that cup of coffee has, and you need also spiritually what this cup of coffee has. You know, if you were already perked up and need it, you wouldn't need the cup. You're getting it because you need it. Here's your time of need, and the inspiration's there. These words are already inspired. Again, start with Proverbs, chapter a day. If you're just looking for a starting point, those words will be unique. They'll feed your spirit. Something will happen. The power and the energy that's in the Word will get in you. The discerning ability in the Word will get in you. Finally, the method, it can be personal. Your personal word, worship, prayer time. It can also be corporate when we're coming together like this and experience it. And so really the point, you know, this morning again is to free yourself from inspirational expectations that you might put on yourself before you feel like you're worthy or can come to have that time with God. No, now is the time. And ironically, people are set free from depression. People get traction spiritually. People get set free from weights and sins when they have an uninspired devotion time. When you come with no emotional requirement and you can come and just feed and you realize, wow, I could do this again and I could do this again tomorrow and I could do this again. All of a sudden you begin to develop a habit and cultivate a feeding. You're like that Psalm 1 guy. And then all of a sudden things just begin to happen. All he's doing is delighting in the law of the Lord day and night. He's just got one discipline. I'm coming to get fueled up, inspired or not. I'm going to meditate in it day and night. And then something just happens in the background while he's doing that. He becomes like a tree planted. Whatever he does prospers. Things in favor and grace begin to happen because he's just faithfully staying fed, staying connected, staying focused on the Lord, staying spiritually minded. Man, I'll tell you what, if you're ever wondering what to do next, get really spiritually minded and see what happens. You can't go wrong setting your mind on things above. And so, you know, I'm kind of reminded of the old cartoon, Droopy. If you remember, you guys have heard Droopy. Millennials will have to Google Droopy and look at the YouTube video. But Droopy had this great saying. He'd say, do you know, he'd be deadpan, serious. Do you know what? I'm happy. And that was kind of his shtick. He was deadpan. No matter what's going on, he was just kind of subdued. And if it takes this helps, if this helps to get over yourself, your spiritual self, me, it's helped me. And you're over here and you're feeling, you know your gauges are empty and you need to be over there, but you're not feeling it. And the enemy's over here trying to scare you out, shame you away, scare you away, make you lonely away. You can just look the enemy, look the devil straight in the eye and say, know what? I'm going to have a devotion time. And open your Bible. Legalistically open that Bible. Yes. And let your eyes fall on those words the same way you would legalistically put that cup of coffee to your mouth. And let it get in you. We need to get free from our own spiritual selves sometimes. Like I said, I know this person. Well, this is a big part of my growing up spiritually. I've had to get past myself spiritually. My mixed metaphors. I'm saved by grace through faith. Oh, that works. I'm not going to see me having to have it of daily devotion time. Oh, no, I know better. Well, there's a difference between your salvation and spiritual health. You can't mix those metaphors. Yes, you've been born again to delight in his word and let it dwell in you richly, taking every thought into captivity to the obedience of Christ, being saturated by his word. Well, Heavenly Father, we just thank you this morning. We thank you this morning that you have set us free. You've set us free from all those self-imposed, religious, emotional, inspirational demands that we put on ourselves to feel like we have to have. Nah, you just say, come boldly in your time of need. Come boldly when you're needing forgiveness. Come boldly when you need help in the middle of your temptation. Come boldly when you're angry. Come boldly when you're mad at the world, when you're mad at me. Come boldly. It doesn't matter. Come boldly. Now is the time. Now is the time. There's nothing more to wait for. There's nothing that has to get aligned anymore. It's already happened. Jesus Christ paid the price 2,000 years ago. He made the new and living way. It is there right now for you to come boldly. There's nothing you add to that new and living way. You will come by the grace and the mercy of God to receive the strength, to receive the help, to receive the inspiration. That's here. That's here in this altar. That's here in this place. Praise God. Receive it. Come boldly. You're loved. Enjoy me. I'm not a tyrant. I want the secret place. I want to speak to your heart. No matter what, no matter what you've done, come boldly. Come boldly, come boldly, come boldly. Come often. Nothing else has to align. The new and living way is there. You are free. You are a child of God. How much more can you trust? I have your heart in my hand. I love you. I'm for you. you. Nothing can get in between you and the love I have for you. Come to the altar and receive the mercy and the grace to help you this morning in your time of need. Praise you, Father. Lord, I just pray that right now. Just that ministry of the Spirit of God, ministry of grace and mercy, ministering to every heart, touching every heart, setting us free from the spiritual lies and false spirituality, and just setting us free from religiosity to where we can breathe in and breathe out and know that you love us and you're for us. And come to those green pastures and still waters and hang out with you. We could walk through the valley of the shadow of death and not fear anything just because you're with us. And your rod and your staff, they just comfort us. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Lord. Thank you for it. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.